From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, November 10th, 2020.
This Day in Maine is made possible by New England Rehabilitation Hospital of Portland, helping patients and their families after illness or injury. Learn more at nerhp.org.
The state CDC is reporting 4 new COVID-related deaths today. 2 of the people who have died are from York County, a woman and a man, both in their 90s. A woman in her 80s from Somerset County and a man in his 70s from Kennebec County have also died. There are 8,163 new cases reported today of COVID-19, and active cases across the state now total 1,804. St. Joseph's College in Standish has detected another COVID-19 outbreak. The college says 4 members of the campus community have tested positive for COVID-19 in the last week. The Secretary of State says races for 2 seats in the Maine House of Representatives will be subject to recounts. Secretary of State Matthew Dunlap said recounts in House Districts 96 and 98 are scheduled to take place Friday. Unofficial results in both cases show a Democratic incumbent edging out a Republican challenger. The unofficial results show Representative Stanley Ziegler defeated Katrina Smith in District 96 and Representative Scott Cuddy defeated Jessica Connor in District 98. District 96 includes several towns in Waldo County, including Montville. District 98 is also based in Waldo County and includes Winterport. And as COVID-19 cases continue to rise in Maine, the short-term rental company Airbnb says Bar Harbor is trending as a top destination for people looking to travel over the Thanksgiving holiday. Airbnb spokesperson Liz DeBold-Fusco says while the company does provide safety information, it is ultimately up to travelers and owners to follow local rules.
I think that if you were to look at the vast majority of listings across Maine, you can see many hosts who are already ensuring that guests are following public health guidance. I've seen many listings in which hosts were reminding guests when they needed to quarantine.
Fusco says Airbnb requires property owners and renters to attest to a safety protocol. But as travelers set their sights on Bar Harbor, the Bangor Daily News is reporting that several local restaurants have temporarily closed after employees came into possible contact with someone with COVID-19. Maine has recently delayed opening bars and tasting rooms and strengthened its masking policy. Travelers from New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey are also required to be tested and quarantine upon arrival. In weather tonight, partly cloudy skies, still fairly warm with lows in the high 40s to the 50s. Tomorrow, partly sunny in the morning, becoming cloudy with a chance of some late showers in the mountains and highs in the mid-60s to the low 70s. The Supreme Court today heard oral arguments in a lawsuit challenging the Affordable Care Act. More than 100,000 Mainers currently rely on the ACA for insurance, either through the marketplace or Medicaid expansion. Some estimates project that Maine would experience the highest increase in the uninsured rate in the country if the ACA were to be struck down. But the decade-old federal law has changed the U.S. healthcare system in other ways. Patty White reports on what's at stake for Maine if the law is repealed.
Patricia Washburn is a technical writer, an IT contractor based in Portland. It's contract work, so it doesn't come with employer-based insurance.
I've always been open to jobs with benefits, and occasionally I get them. But the way the industry works, a lot of the jobs out there are these contracts.
Washburn relies on the Affordable Care Act's marketplace for insurance. She says it allows her to keep a great job and work from home, something she did even before the coronavirus pandemic because she has a disability and uses a wheelchair.
Healthcare access through the ACA has enabled me to remain productive even though my physical mobility has declined.
Washburn is one of more than 62,000 Mainers who currently buy insurance through the Affordable Care Act's marketplace. She could lose it if the U.S. Supreme Court decides the entire law is unconstitutional. It would end the federal subsidies that more than 80% of Mainers who purchase marketplace plans rely on, says Kate Endy of Consumers for Affordable Healthcare. And federal funding for Medicaid expansion, which covers 90% of the TAB, would also disappear. Nearly 65,000 Mainers have coverage through that program.
The ACA it's very far-reaching, and so to just completely get rid of it would, cause chaos within our healthcare system.
State lawmakers have taken steps to shield Mainers from threats to dismantle the ACA. Last year, Governor Janet Mills signed a bill that enshrines some of the ACA's protections into state law. Things like requiring insurance companies to cover essential health benefits, allowing young adults to stay on their parents' plans until age 26, and barring insurers from denying coverage to people with pre-existing conditions. Maine's law protects some people, says Endy, but not everyone.
There's obviously still gaps that remain, which is why having that federal legislation is so important.
One of those gaps involves the fact that not all employer-based insurance is regulated by the state. A little more than half of private sector employees in Maine work for companies with self-insured plans, which are regulated by the federal government.
And so they don't have to follow all of Maine's laws. So we would still have people with employer coverage that could be subject to, you know, a pre-existing condition exclusion, for example.
The potential loss of protections and coverage are perhaps the biggest, most obvious issues at stake for consumers. But the ripple effects would extend to other areas of the healthcare system, says Jeff Austin of the Maine Hospital Association.
The secondary impact is on providers, particularly hospitals that sort of have the unique obligation to treat the uninsured.
Austin says the ACA has helped reduce hospital losses from charity care. And the prospect of patients losing coverage is especially concerning during a pandemic.
But even in a non-pandemic environment, people get sick, and if they can't pay, that falls to the hospital bottom line as a loss. And given the circumstances of a slowed-down economy, and there was 6 months where hospitals weren't doing very much in anticipation of a COVID spike, it would be a real financial hardship.
The ACA is also responsible for measures to improve quality, from data collection to payment methods that reward or penalize hospitals and providers. And Kate Endy says the law has touched other aspects of life, from requiring nutrition information on menus in chain restaurants to ensuring nursing mothers have a private space to pump breast milk at work to free annual checkups and flu shots.
Most people would be impacted by repealing the ACA in some way.
And for racial and ethnic minorities, a repeal of the law would exacerbate disparities in care. Lisa Saga-Basin of Wabanaki Public Health says more Indigenous people in Maine and across the country are insured now, thanks to the ACA.
It's critical in serving thousands, if not more, Indigenous people. And so in moving forward, if this should go away, we just have a greater disparity, a disparity that we've already experienced through generations of having inadequate health coverage and care.
The executive director of Lewiston-based New Mainers Public Health Initiative, Abdul Karim Saeed, says before the ACA, immigrants often had to go to emergency rooms for care, but now they get treatment from primary care doctors.
It will increase again the gaps that existing before.
The Affordable Care Act has faced challenges twice before in the Supreme Court. Justices have until June to issue a decision on the current lawsuit. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And news that a highly effective vaccine for COVID-19 could be available before the end of the year is creating excitement in the medical world. It's also triggered a race to secure the ultra-cold storage capacity needed to keep the vaccine viable. And as Fred Bever reports, that's tightening the supply for a vital commodity used by many of Maine's lobster processors, dry ice.
Maine CDC Director Nirav Shah says more information is needed before he's satisfied that the Pfizer vaccine will be as successful as the company's initial information shows, but he is planning for it.
So we are working to expand the scope of ultra-cold storage that we've got in Maine. We've already talked to the various hospitals in Maine that have such facilities, and then we on our side are working to acquire additional freezers to bolster our internal capacity to store that vaccine.
We may have vaccine here as early as sometime in December. Can only hope, anyway.
Dora Mills is Chief Health Improvement Officer at Maine Health. She says that hospital system has freezer capacity to store tens of thousands of doses of the vaccine for long periods of time. But she adds that the freezers are mostly located in the greater Portland area, which could mean challenges in trying to safely transport and store vaccine further afield.
Of course, we don't want to be storing them. We want to be administering this vaccine. And the good news is there are also other ways that this vaccine can be stored for a short period of time. So, for instance, the shipping box it arrives in has a lot of dry ice in it. That dry ice can be replenished and you can keep the vaccine for about 15 days in that box.
But, she adds, dry ice, which is frozen carbon dioxide, would need to be replenished daily. And at 50 pounds of ice per box of vaccine, she says that will add up. And just as the entire nation gears up for what is hoped will be a massive distribution effort in the near future, it looks like the dry ice supply is drying up.
Quite honestly, of dry ice, there's already been a shortage.
Alan Tracy is president of Vessel Services, Inc., which sells dry ice from Portland's waterfront to the fishing industry. He says dry ice manufacturers are putting vaccine-related purchasers at the front of the line. Tracy is all for making sure that vaccine can get safely where it needs to go, but the new demand is coming at a time when he usually can depend on very robust sales, as lobster processors are freezing and shipping product for the holiday markets.
You know, we just had a number of calls today, actually, about it, and all we can do is, you know, try and keep people up to date. But it's too bad because, you know, this is a time when people really look to ramp up their businesses, and if you're shipping frozen things.
Maine Health's Dora Mills and officials at other hospital systems in Maine say they are casting around for new sources for dry ice. Those could include brewers, Mills says, who sometimes use it, and the University of Maine. A university spokesman says it is researching both its cold storage capacity and its potential manufacturing capabilities and will report to the state CDC by the end of the week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org and join us tomorrow morning for Maine Calling at 11 for a tribute to veterans. I'm Nora Flaherty.